Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. Symbols are very important to humans. Consider Earth Day and the image of the Earth from space. Our guest sees both as powerful reminders that we are one planet whose future depends on people from diverse nations, cultures, and religions. He is Dennis Hayes. He was key to the creation of Earth Day in 1970 and is confident we must together face climate change, ozone depletion, and today's epidemic of extinctions. Or else, he reminds us, we will all go down together. Where will we find the answers to today's pressing problems? There's no predicting, Mr. Hayes says. Consider.
The chairman and CEO of what used to be British Petroleum is now the CEO of Beyond Petroleum. They are now the largest manufacturers of solar cells in the world. The chairman of the board of the Ford Motor Company has said he will, during his tenure, preside over the death of the internal combustion engine. I mean, there is this creative destruction now being recognized even among the big major players.
Dennis Hayes was Earth Day's founding national coordinator in 1970. Now he is an internationally known environmental lawyer and conservationist. Mr. Hayes continues to chair Earth Day, which currently is in 181 countries. He headed President Carter's National Renewable Energy Laboratory. He's now the president of the Bullitt Foundation and chairs the board of the Energy Foundation. Mr. Hayes has received the highest honors given by the Sierra Club, the National Wildlife Federation, the American Solar Energy Society, and the Humane Society. He's author of over 100 articles and 2 books. Dennis Hayes, Bill Russell, and I met in a remarkable new building, which seemed the perfect setting in which to ask Dennis Hayes for a status report on planet Earth. Dennis Hayes, it seems that the human need for symbols is very great. I think of Earth Day as a symbol. I've come to think of Dennis Hayes as a pivotal part in Earth Day as a symbol. And I can't think of either without that incredible picture that the younger generation doesn't know hasn't always existed of the Earth from space. Now, don't these symbols all kind of fit together in a nice mesh?
Oh, absolutely. At precisely the time that we were beginning to call attention to the modern array of environmental problems, that's to say, not the conservation issues, which have enormous and deep roots in American culture, but threats to human health and well-being that come out of air pollution and water pollution and toxics and fallout from nuclear weapons tests and what have you, was the time that we began to get those images from space that let us understand the finiteness of the planet and the beauty of the planet. It was hugely powerful. And when coupled with some poetry from Adlai Stevenson and Buckminster Fuller, it really gave us a wonderful launching pad.
So if you hadn't had that image of the Earth from space, you're going to have to make it up or something. Doesn't that make the ultimate logo?
Well, there is something called the Earth flag that some groups have been selling now for the last more than 3 decades that many people fly in front of their houses and use as a symbol that talks about the fact that, yeah, we remain diverse nations and cultures and religions and what have you, but ultimately we're either going to all pull through it together with things like climate change and ozone depletion and this epidemic of extinction, or else we're all going to go down together, but it's one planet.
I did have the feeling as I was beginning to think toward this conversation of this is going to be really depressing.
Well, we haven't even started depressing yet, but we're heading that way.
Good, Dennis. Thank you so much. Isn't one of the real challenges that we remember that there's so much at stake and that we can do something about it? Isn't that what Earth Day really started and continues to be about?
Well, absolutely.
Because I don't want people to turn off before we get started, Dennis.
Stay tuned. There's good news. There's good news at the end. At the very end, we will give you all
the... We always save it for the last 30 seconds. If you'll come to this website, we will solve all these problems. Sure. In some ways, this has been one of the difficulties of the environmental movement, which is what we've tended to use as a modus operandi now, right from the beginning, are what you might think of as self-undoing hypotheses.
Self-undoing.
As opposed to self-fulfilling hypotheses. That's to say, we posit a future that if you look at it and say, this is where we're heading right now, these are the trends, and people examine them and say, we don't want to go there. And so then they make changes so that you don't go there. Rachel Carson writing Silent Spring, about a world in which we don't have many of the bird calls that fill our springs, was not saying this is where she wanted to go, this is where she didn't want to go, but where we were heading. That leads people now, 30 years later, to say, yeah, there's another person crying wolf. Oh, we're up to our
posteriors
in brown pelicans and bald eagles, ignoring the fact that we banned DDT and that we did a variety of other things to save those species. And in area after area, through the passage of the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, the National Environmental Protection Act, we have changed the context, solved a bunch of problems, and now tend to be viewed by people who come onto the scene 20 years later as saying, boy, look at that hysteria they had. That was sure off base. But for that hysteria, we would be a much impoverished place by now.
This is Dennis Hayes. We're going to be back in just a moment for a considerably more conversation. On the Paula Gordon Show, Bill Russell and I are with Mr. Hayes in Oberlin, Ohio. We will all return in just a moment. Please do be with us.